How many of you need rest? We're going to talk about rest, a new series about rest, and I experienced the need for rest in a new way 2 years ago, one summer afternoon, coming home from the office here, and I drive into my driveway, and I see the willow tree that is in my backyard right on the pond, retention pond, has fallen over. And being the conscientious neighbor that I am, it's on the neighbor's property. The most of the, you know how willows have all that sticky stuff at the top, you know, and there it's just all over. I thought, man, and I was praising the Lord because it was warm, but the clouds were there, and I thought, oh, that's not bad. I got my chainsaw, and I started that thing up, and I started, you know, it's that big round at the base, and there's still a stub of it laying over about that long that I haven't done anything with since then, but as I worked along trimming up the branches and hauling them off into the woods, the sun came out and it was humid because it had been raining earlier. And I was, man, I was sweating buckets, which I usually do. I can think hard enough to sweat buckets. So it was really bad because I was cutting down a tree. And the neighbor finally came out and helped me. And so we're interested in our neighbors and want to develop relationships with them. And I'm not one who would accept help very readily. You know me, I got to be the man and do it all myself. And I don't want to inconvenience anybody else, since all that kind of weird stuff goes on in our lives. He came over in his son, and man, we were going at it, and we were taking, you know, loads of brush out into the woods and piling this big pile up, and then just all of a sudden my body like stopped. It's like my legs said, I ain't going no farther. And my arm said, no, I'm not picking anything else up. And I told my neighbor, I'm sorry. You guys don't have to stay and finish this, but I can't do anymore. I got to go in and rest. And I barely made it to the house. Guys of an age, you remember the first time that happened to you and you realized you weren't Superman? Man, did I need rest. And I don't remember if I crashed, but I probably did. And it's interesting that we're starting a series on rest this morning, because I feel like I could crash right now. I don't know why I'm so tired. I told Bobby Anderson when I was greeting him this morning, if I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep in the pulpit, he said, well, if you do, I'll come up and pick you up. So he might need some help, you know. Okay. And as I started thinking about this subject of rest several weeks ago, I thought, well, this is going to be fairly straightforward, and there's some things I could already think of. And then as I started to dive into what the Scripture says about rest, I thought, this is deeper than I imagined, and it's more of a need on a deeper level than we probably think of. We think of getting to the end of a task and needing rest from it, or we've been puzzling through something in our brain and we have to disassociate and get some rest from thinking about it. And because this is such a challenging subject, first of all, I ask that you pray for me as this continues to develop. It was way more difficult than I imagined. And I came home several days this week going, I need a rest from this. And I believe that because the first mention of rest is at the very beginning of the Bible, there's something really important there that we need to come back to. So today, week one is rest reformulated. We're going to look at the introduction of rest into our midst, and then what happened to it, and begin this journey to reclaim what God intends for us to have in rest. It's not just one area of our lives. It's across all places that we come to the need for rest. So we're going to dig in Genesis chapter 2. It is at the end of creation. Chapter 1 has all of those 6 days that God created all the different things. And at the beginning of chapter 2, the first three verses, the writer of the book of Genesis sums it up in this way. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. So number one, you probably already caught that on the screen. Rest was designed as blessing first. It came as a blessing first. Everything was created But we have God's story, and it's interesting when you work through the Genesis 1 account, and I did it again this morning. He doesn't say at the end of every single day, and it was good. He actually skipped the first 2 days, but in verses, days 3 through 6, at the end of each day's creation, he said, this is good. It's good. And it was very good. And here at the end of the whole thing, he declared it good. The word used there is, I'm trying to say this right. Actually, I'm not going to say it right. So you know when I try to do Greek or Hebrew, it's like I'm not a scholar in that. One word was used, and it means to cease, desist, or rest. It's related to the word Sabbath, but it's not the word Sabbath. Actually, that comes in a little later. In a minute, we'll talk about that. At the end of his creation, the core of rest was him kind of sitting back and going, this is good. I mean, he's thinking more than just, man, that tree is awesome, and the way it's going to exchange carbon dioxide for oxygen or whichever it does, that's good. Or the way the water is running, he's thinking, it's good for these people I put here. This is good for them. And it's good, they're going to be good to it, and we're going to be good together. Matter of fact, one of my favorite places in the Bible that talks about Adam and God walking in the garden in the cool of the day gives us that snapshot of them just in friendly connection that I long for. And I hope you long for that too, and it's actually what he longs for. And I can just imagine him sitting back going, okay, we're all set. We got everything. We got everything that we need, everything that the men and women need, and in our relationship. And he's got some things to keep him busy and be involved. And so the rest that we often think of as getting to the end of ourselves, whether it's physically or emotionally or in any other way, it wasn't a need, it was a blessing. Rest was intended to be a blessing, and it says here in these three verses that God declared it holy, which means he set it aside. This is a day when I just want you to be blessed. I want you to sit back and take a step back and look at all of this and go, phew, I'm just blessed. This is blessed. And back then, of course, it was a blessing. There wasn't anything else but blessing. In Genesis, at the end of chapter 1, verse 31, he said, God saw all that was made, and it was very good, not just good. So in this blessing of rest, some things that were intended or introduced to our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, and one was a seven-day cycle. So God gave that pattern. Here's 6 days you work, and then there's one day that you don't work. There's 6 days you're applying yourself, and there's one day you sit back and you just take it all in and go, man, it's good to be here. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad we're here together. It also introduced an intentionality, because there's nothing in creation that reflects a seven-day week. The phases of the moon are 28 days, unevenly, in our calendar. So now we have, in January, 31 days, in February, 28. Well, this year, it's an election year, so 29, because nature doesn't reflect this 7 year. God did this kind of out of that pattern and said, intentionally, I want you to be cognizant. I want you to be thinking, I got to have a day of rest here. I got to plan for it. I have to expect it, and I want to step back, and I'm just going to have the blessing of this day. And the third thing that he kind of made a part of this day of blessing that is that we are honoring his creation of us and imitating how he showed us a good pattern and good cycle. So that was a blessing. So rest came as a blessing. Now, I don't know how you feel, but to me, rest is a need. Last night, I was just whacked. I don't know why, man. I was just out of it almost all day. I usually go to my ideal time, so this is how old, but I've done this for a long time, to get up when I need to get up and pray in the morning. I need to go to bed at 9:30, and hopefully I fall asleep. My app tells me it takes me sometimes an hour and a half to fall asleep, which is not very cool. I'd like to go out like that, but last night it was 9 o'clock, and I'm going, I don't think I can keep my eyes open anymore. I'm going to go to bed. I need to go get some rest. I need some rest. I need what's going on to come to me. I just can't pour any more into it. I can't put anything more into it. But that's not what it was intended when it first came in to the world, and everything was just the way God had designed it. So number two in your handout, rest as need. That's what happened, the transition from blessing to a need. And it's quite extensive, and we find it shortly after this creation. But our verse is Exodus 23:12. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. This verse tells us it's no longer just step into blessing and appreciate everything. It's you need it because you need to be rested and you need to be refreshed. Something has changed. By the way, the word Sabbath, which is, we'll talk about Sabbath, but not much today except to say it first appeared in Exodus chapter 16. So all of Genesis, 50 chapters, it's not in there. The word that sounds a lot like it, which is the verb to cease, desist, and rest, wasn't coupled with the concept of a day given to the Lord for rest in the Sabbath, or as we celebrated on Sunday. But it was first used in Exodus 16 in reference to the manna. So the Israelites were wandering out in the wilderness and they didn't have any food, and God gave them this corn flakes that appeared in the ground at night, and they'd gathered it up and made, you know, bread with it. And he said, don't gather it on the Sabbath. And that was when it was linked with the day of rest and a day holy to the Lord and a day of worship and all of their celebrations from that point on. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, it is part of the Ten Commandments. Keep that Sabbath day holy. But here in Exodus 23 is this more of an explanation of the need. We have a need. We don't just want you to have it different. And it's not only to set aside time to worship privately and corporately, but it's you need this rest. And we see the transition from blessing to rest in the second and third chapters of Genesis, right back at the beginning again. It wasn't a blessing or only a blessing for very long. It soon became a need. So actually, the A in your handout, physical decline, and this is from Genesis 2:17, before Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God, God warned them that a need would happen in their life if they sinned. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And sure enough, I don't know if they felt like when they bit the fruit and shared it, we know they noticed they didn't have any clothes on, but I bet they all felt a physical change, maybe a stooping, a weight and a burden of the physical that wears out and the physical decline. So we all suffer from that as we age and sign up for Medicare and we get aches and pain. Man, I woke up the other morning and this shoulder just felt like somebody was had a burning ice pick in it. It's a little better now. I don't know what's going on. I didn't do anything, but the physical decline and the need to have physical rest happened when Adam and Eve sinned. And we work now through Genesis 3. That's that, the worst chapter in the Bible, where men and women forsook the leadership and friendship of God and decided to pursue their own leadership. That's a disaster. So B is spiritual warfare started. It wasn't before. An interesting way that we see this come out, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Enmity is you're against one another. And this is spoken to Satan, who took the form of a snake. And so there's two applications to this, at least two. One is, you know, what woman isn't afraid of a snake? Now, I know that's a sexist statement. You can nail me on that later. And actually, human beings. If I see something slither, I had to kill a big old snake out in front. Here in our house, it was just a gardener snake, but she saw it. And it had to die. You know how that goes. You know. So that was one side of the story, but there was something deeper in here. And this is the beginning. And actually, as you look at how the scripture unfolds, this is referred to as that moment when the war between Jesus and the devil started at the sin of Adam and Eve and the enemy taking the form of the snake in this account of the sin of Adam and Eve, but it is that spiritual beginning. You're going to have enmity. You're going to be against. And they weren't against anything in the garden before they tasted that fruit. It was all harmony, God and Adam and Eve. And now there is spiritual warfare. And I don't know if, you know, if you don't recognize it, if you've never taken the time to kind of identify and isolate it, nothing in my experience calls for rest more than spiritual warfare. It's draining on every level. It's physically draining. It's emotionally draining. It's draining. When you are in the battle with the enemy, man, you're tired and you need rest. It happened back then at the very beginning. We had a physical decline that happened. Our body started to decay and death came into us. We fight against that. Spiritual warfare, we fight against that. And of course, all of these are an arm of spiritual warfare as well. C, relational tension started. Part of the curse that was pronounced on Eve, to the woman God said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. That's the beginning of the split, the war between the sexes that we used to joke about. Children against parents and parents against children and people in relationship that they've deceived or they've been incomplete in their communication and there's tension in relationship and we need rest from that. That can be draining when you're, think of your children who have made choices that you know are to their detriment and you can't just say you can't do that and you pray for your kids. I'm talking about adult kids. Hopefully you're riding pretty hard on those younger ones and letting them know they just can't do whatever they want. Prepare them for that day when they're going to go off on their own. Relational tension and the need for rest from that or in that happened when the blessing of rest was turned to a need through the sin of mankind. D, draining work. Genesis 3:17 through 19, cursed is the ground because of you. God is talking to Adam. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. In the creation story, we see that Adam was put in the garden to tend it. And the whole sense of Adam tending the garden was, this is fun. And I'm productive and busy and I have purpose and it's beauty. And so at the end of the, you know, week, Adam could step back with God. I could just see him, you know, arm in arm going, man, that garden's looking pretty sweet. And they didn't have to weed because there weren't any weeds. And then when that happened, when Adam and Eve chose themselves over God, the ground became cursed. And in effect, all the work we are called to do has with it a drain and challenge and trouble. One of the things I always talk to Bobby Anderson about when we greet each other on Sunday is, how's that garden? He's got a big garden out back and there's weeds and there's deer and there's, you know, it's too dry or it's too wet and it's all this difficulty and trial. And so that happens. So we need rest from work because work is no longer just a pleasant pursuit and purpose fulfilled. It's hard. It doesn't matter whether you're plowing the ground or you're doing book work or you're, it doesn't matter what the job is. James Thurber, a humorist from the early 20th century, I have a couple of his collections, and he said, even the greatest job you could think of, that of batting baseballs through the windows of the RCA building in New York, will get drudgerous after a few days. Doesn't matter how great the job is. Why is that? It's because rest was turned from a blessing to a need. Something happened and it was taken away from us. So we have a physical decline that was ushered in, and so we need rest from that. We have spiritual warfare that affects and influences all the rest of these things that we need rest in connection with. Relational tension between us and all of us and God. Work that drains. And E, spiritual separation. Genesis 3:23 and 24, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. that place that God made for him and for her, they were barred from. I mean, and they went so far in telling this story that there is a cherub, an angel, with a flaming sword in case they wanted to try to get in. I don't think they wanted to get in because they chose themselves as their own leaders, and so they were feeling all sorts of pressure to be away and be on their own. But this was, and this word picture gives us, you know, the sense of depth of this separation that of course, Jesus came to make right again and to try to restore in us the blessing that rest is, even though it still remains a need and will remain a need. We have to accept that it is a need. Those of us who are, you know, want to be the heroes, or those who are low-key, and it's all, we have to admit that there is rest needed, but it's calling us back to rest as a blessing as well. And so number three in your handout is restoring the source of rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it's one of the earliest passages that spoke to me when I came back to Christ in my 20s, whatever, late 20s, I think it was, mid to late 20s. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is in Christ that we get to rediscover the blessing while we also come into alignment to find the right rest for our need, because there are many ways that rest calls to us and it meets the needs we have, and in it comes blessing. So I'm going to recommend, first of all, that you spend some little time in that, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'm also going to ask that you might want to, so Dan gave you some homework, I'm giving you some homework too. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about entering rest, and we're going to be going there. There's some other places, but in those two, spend some time. You see in your handout, there's a my rest. There's three things. And I just, now, we need to pray and start thinking through these. I can't explain it all today. I'll never be able to explain it all, by the way. But as we work through what rest is supposed to be, I got to tell you, this will challenge you at deep places. Because in order to find the rest God has prescribed, we're going to have to give up something, some things along the way. And I got a feeling they're going to be really hard for all of us, but different for all of us. That's the thing about this. I can find my rest set, and I can go to somebody else. Hey, why don't you just take it easy and stop being all worried? Why don't you just rest? But they can find the one in me. And at 4 o'clock this morning, that was one for me. I actually looked at the clock. I thought, maybe it's time to get up. I don't know if I can lay here and think about this stuff anymore. We all have areas where this will be particularly challenging. In discovering how to reclaim rest, we will need to become cultural rebels, because culture calls us not to rest. Culture calls us to pursue what it deems important. And of course, culture is made up of the collective directions of human beings. Sometimes it's a geographical culture, sometimes it's socioeconomic culture. And we're going to have to cut across. That's only if you want rest. So I'm not telling you got to have it. But if you want it, I think we need to start praying into what it's going to look like for us and how I can come to a point of surrender of certain kinds of things. So there are three things under my rest. There's rest from. There are some things we need rest from, and that's taking a break. So in the beginning, God took a break, but it's not because he was tired. He's done. But for us, it's we need rest from some things. At the end of the work week and the job you have and the pressures of that job, whatever your job is, there's probably an element where you just need a break from it. It's not, it doesn't have to be negative, though we have certainly painted work as negative. We're going to discover it's not God's intention. Anyway, the second thing is we need rest in. I have in parentheses resources. That means when I am in a thing, a place where it's not what I want to be, it might not be that I need a break from that. It might be that I need to find how to rest while I'm in it. Tough. Last week was a whole week of that for me. Doggone it, when I preach about something and he just allows me to sense some of the things that I'll be teaching on that he has revealed in his word. And I, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were particularly difficult to rest in because I wanted to go in a direction. I wanted a certain pace and it just didn't change, though I cried out. And I got to say, I didn't rest in it very well. I didn't. So I have a lot to learn too. And then the last one is, we have rest for. That is a preparation for what is ahead. This is kind of like money. I always thought this was curious in my life, how God would... I was raised by a skinflint. My dad was a loving dad, but man, he was a pinch penny old, wrote down all of 3-cent nut he bought at the hardware store, and he knew where it all went. And you know, so he was very good, and he built his own house, and back in the 40s, and he mortgaged it a couple times and paid for it like right away for whatever purchase, I don't know what, but he was good with money and taught us to be good. And I always thought, man, if I just save, and I'm a Dave Ramsey guy too, been trained in some of those things as well to help other people out, and he always says, you know, I can have my emergency fund, and it always seems in my life I accrue a certain amount, and it's because there's an expense coming and I need to use it, and what I want to do is keep it. Well, this is sort of like the rest for. And if we confuse one of these rests, if I want to rest from when I'm supposed to rest in, I will not find rest. So we need to figure out how to identify these things, how to pray into them, how to ask the Lord to lead us. If I'm supposed to be resting up for an accomplishment that I need to pour myself into coming, but I want to just have a break, then when that thing comes, I won't be ready if I'm not at the place where I will accept the kind of rest. So, this is just the beginning. I encourage you to take those three and in longer form, think of your perspective now. And I assume the Spirit is going to have us shift some of our perspectives as we walk through what God said rest is supposed to be for in this fallen world where it's no longer just the blessing of stepping back and enjoying everything that he's done. What do you perceive you need rest from? Get as particular as you can in making lists of things. From work, from certain people or certain relationships, from whatever. Start listing things you think you might need rest in. It's not changing. I have to keep going. I can't get away from it. So maybe this is a thing that I need to discover to be restful right in. You look at that passage of Scripture, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. The curious thing about this is he calls everyone to come and rest, but he talks about having a yoke. A yoke is something they put on an oxen or some other animal that pulls a load. How can you rest and work at the same time? Well, we're going to find out. That's what the resting in is about. And this is more difficult because we don't know the future, but it's still something worth praying, thinking, and listing out is what might I need rest for? What do you know that is coming in your life? I suspect somehow he will help us plan rest for the things we know. And of course, he'll grant us opportunities for rest for the things he knows, but we don't. Praise the Lord that he's way ahead of us and all that and has our plan. Our path, each individual personal path and how they intersect, that's all in place already. All we have to do is find his way in it. So do you need rest? We're going to find rest together. Share with someone, with all of us. Post on our Facebook page discoveries. That'd be a great, I would love to see more of that actually on Facebook instead of all the stuff that's out there. That we'd post our spiritual journey, whether it's something we've found or something we're looking for. and be able to pray for one another, fulfilling the law of Christ, as Diana reminded us in her prayer for the birthday. So, you got Dan's assignment for the concert coming up. You've got this to start working on. Pray for me as I develop next week and beyond. I don't know how far this goes or exactly where he's going to lead us. I have three or four other topics already started to be outlined, but you know, that's all up to what God wants to do. He wants you to rest. He has the sweet rest for you. He does. It seems impossible. Sometimes in my life, it seems impossible that we would find it. He wants it for you, so he'll grant it as you come to him. Let's stand and pray. Team will come up to get ready to sing the doxology. Make a move if the Spirit calls you to make a move. Maybe the move to first come to the Jesus who offers that we can find, rediscover the blessedness of rest even while we find where it meets the needs we have and enter into a relationship. As Dan was talking about, and the whole point of the concert coming up is to have people find Jesus and the one who can give us rest. Or maybe you have a particular thing you've struggled with, and today the Spirit is calling you to give that up to rest, even if you can't define what that is. He does that for us. Come to him and make choices to him and share those things with one another. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for rest. I thank you that it's more than I can understand right now. I thank you that it's deeper than me just saying I need a day off, or I need to not do that task one time in its progression, or I need to get away, or whatever it is. That you have something much sweeter than I imagine. I suspect most of us just want a break. But in that break, you have something far more rich in mind than just a temporary cessation of a certain activity or thought. We want the riches of rest, Lord, because first of all, we need it. But also, so important, our neighbors need it. Our family members need it. The people we see at the store when we're checking out or shopping, they need it. And it is in you, it is only in you, whatever masquerades for rest in the world just leaves us disappointed and leads us to take matters into our own hands and escape, in effect, the sweetness that is a part even of this life lived in a distorted, broken place. I thank you, Lord, that when we come to be with you, you restore so much to us, and we can say, this is the day of the Lord, and I will rejoice in it. So lead us in how we need to process the truth of rest. And Lord, open up avenues to share this with one another so we can find this together as you reveal it to us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.